change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
What exists, reality itself, is gorgeous. It is the plenum, the fullness of total joy. The universe is a celebration. It's a fireworks show to celebrate that existence is. Wow, we.
For those of us seeking a life of meaning and purpose, capturing fulfillment in every moment of now, seeking the truths of our reality so we can live this life to its fullest. This is the Live This Life podcast. And I'm your host, Heath Cummings. I'm here to inspire you to ask yourself the question every day. Are you living or are you killing time? By now, most of us are pretty well aware that this solar eclipse is going to be happening on April 8th. And many people are excited about seeing this natural wonder this time around. And, you know, I've actually been looking forward to it very much over the last 7 years. Back in 2017, when the other eclipse that went across the United States happened, I was going through a really rough time that year. It was one of the most profound years of my life and going through a major transition. And that eclipse happened like dead smack in the middle of all of it. And in the buildup to that eclipse, I really don't feel like many of us took it too seriously. Like, we knew it was going to happen. It wasn't that big of a deal. We didn't pay much attention. But I personally had some things going on that day that I could have definitely canceled. And I remember feeling like I was missing out so much that I should have been focusing on it so much more. Like, there was this deep calling that said, like, you should definitely have cleared your schedule and had this be the center of focus of your day. And I just remember being so awestruck, and I had an appointment, came out of the appointment, and most of it was over. And I feel like I had missed out on something so profound after it was too late. So after that eclipse came and went, I looked up when the next one was going to be. Like, I wanted to see if there was another one sometime nearby. And I remember just thinking to myself, wow, 7 years, it's a long ways out, but it also isn't. So leading up to this one, I've been very much looking forward to this one. And I saw that it was going over northern Vermont, which is only just a few hours away from me. So I'm like, I want to be in the path of this one as it goes through. And just this feeling that I had that came over me at that time is just something I haven't been able to shake ever since. That feeling I had of these celestial bodies that are just kind of always overhead, that we're taking for granted, that they're just circling around us in the sky. And these things coincide into this rare spectacle that we hardly ever get to see. It really changed my perception on everything. And it makes you feel so much more insignificant and really humbled in your existence. At least it did for me. I realized how big the universe was around me. Like, for some reason, it took this event for that to happen. And it was just amazing. It was just something that, like I said, I will never forget what that felt like. And I think for so many people, it was a very similar thing. Like, they didn't realize the magic that was behind it. And then once they actually got to experience it, they were like, wow, this was an amazing thing. It's just takes your breath away, and they want to be in the middle of it. So this time around, there are so many people focused on this current one. And I think many of the people who experienced it last time were very much like me. They just wanted more of it, and they've been waiting for this one. And the 2024 eclipse over the last 7 years was going to be a pinnacle of an experience for them. So this one's a big deal. Eclipses have always been a big deal, though. You know, throughout history, ancient cultures, like the Chinese culture, thought that a dragon was eating the sun. And, you know, even in like Viking culture, they thought that their sun goddess Sol, S-O-L, was actually being overtaken by a wolf. And so many other cultures had, you know, something that was equated to the eclipse bringing on doom and destruction and chaos. And, you know, I guess when we look back on it now, it seems so primitive that these cultures thought that way, when it was so very obviously scientifically explained, at least from our point of view now in modern times. But really, are we that much different now than our ancestors? If you've been reading any of the headlines for the last few months about this eclipse, you'll agree that, you know, we might not be that much far away from these people. Every other video on YouTube and TikTok is talking about these insane predictions about how the end of the world could be signaled by this eclipse. And there are so many mainstream narratives out there that are getting involved that are just purposely winding people up. I just don't understand it. Some of these narratives are significant ones. You know, it includes some top agencies. Like, it's not just some random person on TikTok making these convincing videos. The media is wrapped up in it. And then also organizations like NASA and CERN in Switzerland, they're throwing their hat in the ring on this day for whatever reason. I still cannot figure it out. But the shady activities of both CERN and NASA. CERN is the Large Hadron Collider, if you're not familiar with it. And our own government obviously runs the National Space Agency. And, the people over here in the U.S. are getting all fearful over something that should be more of an amazing spiritual significance instead of something that's to dread and to fear. So here we are. We're going to sit here and unpack some of all these things that are happening today in this sort of pre-eclipse time. We're only a few days out at this point, and we're going to dig into what's going on, what's being said, and some of the actual spiritual significance of this amazing event and what we really should be paying attention to and taking in during this experience rather than what we should be hiding from. All right, so let's get some of the elephants in the room out of the way. So there are so many of these outlandish but pretty amazing coincidences that are happening and that people are pointing out, and they're using them as a sign of something that's bad to come, that's right in front of us. And I do agree, enough of these things lined up in a way that you really can't deny it is a little bit more than a coincidence, because you guys know that I don't believe in coincidences at all. I feel like if something is happening in a specific time, in a specific place, you know, the word synchronicities, all the things that have to come together to make some of these things happen are extremely significant. And that could be by design, like whether it's an unconscious design that we end up putting it together, whether it's devised by sort of a conscious effort by people in power that is symbolic for some strange reason. It's someone within mankind actually creating this circumstance, or if it's an intelligent design of a greater power beyond our comprehension, just whatever it is, there is some sort of a conscious effort that is creating these things more than them just being a random set of events that coincide into this coincidence that I just don't think these things happen in such profound ways and line up the way they have. So let's dive into some of these. Some of the stuff that's been happening that's going to be sort of swirling around just the path of this eclipse. That's the number one thing. The path that this eclipse is taking is going from the southeast of the United States up to the northeast, southwest to northeast. The one that was in 2017 went in sort of a different direction. It went from the northwest to the southeast. So the two paths put together made an X directly across the United States. It's pretty crazy. The number 7 is also pretty significant. It's significant spiritually, biblically, and it's been 7 years. And there's so many different things with the number 7 when you look into it in the spiritual aspect. You know, the 7 chakras that I've talked about so many times, the energy centers of the body. The 7-year cycles that we go through in our life when things shift and change, 7 days of the week. You know, the Bible has so many different symbolic things of the number 7. It symbolizes perfection. You know, God created earth in 7 days, and so much goes along with that. It's a symbol of truth. It is a symbol of introspection. And the 2017 eclipse passed over 7 towns named Salem, which was pretty odd. I just learned that during the run-up to this eclipse. The word Salem derives from the word shalom, which means peace in Hebrew. So that was a sort of a strange coincidence in and of itself. Well, the 2024 eclipse will pass over several towns named Nineveh. But in total, it's going to pass right above or very close to 7 towns named Nineveh. Some of those towns are right outside of the path of totality, but they're pretty close. Some people are like, oh, it's passing right over. No, if you dig into it, it's actually like 2 or 3, I think, of the towns in Nineveh are in the direct path of totality, which is what the shadow is. But there are several towns of Nineveh that are right there along the path. It's pretty crazy. And if you look at what Nineveh is, it's a biblical town that's got a whole story behind it. It's also passing over the town of Jonah, Texas, which is pretty crazy because Jonah is a character within the Bible. And the story of Jonah going to the city of Nineveh to tell them all that they need to repent to escape God's wrath. And at the last minute, he decides he doesn't want to go. He's on his way there, turns around and leaves. I'm probably butchering this story, guys. I am not a biblical scholar. But he is swallowed by a whale. And the whale eventually lets him go. And he takes that sign that the whale let him go, that it's a sign of providence, that he needs to go back on his mission and fulfill the destiny that he had, go to Nineveh and tell everybody to repent. So he is let go of, he goes there, does his thing. Well, this eclipse is symbolic for a lot of different reasons because of Nineveh, because of Jonah, but also the eclipse is passing through the constellation Cetus, which is a whale. So there's a lot of these things that are referenced in the Bible that a lot of people are pointing at. And they say that the second coming is going to begin, you know, and the signs of whenever the second coming of Christ is supposed to be will be seen in the heavens. There'll be signs in the sky and that the sun will be darkened, the moon will turn a blood red, which we just had a lunar eclipse where the moon turned blood red. There is this condition that's supposedly going on in the moon right now where it's actually rusting and it's starting to actually start to turn red. So all these things have some followers of the Bible all worked up. And I guess for good reason. You know, the other big thing too is that the town Rapture, Indiana, lies almost dead center where the two paths of the eclipse meet in that X. It's just outside of the center, but I mean, it's so far, it's, I want to say it's only like 20 miles from the center where the two shadows came across. And in that shadow is also a town named New Egypt. So all these little factoids that the interwebs are all abuzzed about and people are all making it up to be a sign of the end of times. I'm not going to scoff at it because these are quite a few significant things. It's more stuff than you can actually just straight up dismiss. But at the same token, how much of these things are by design? You know, if these eclipses can be predicted centuries and eons in advance, you know, who knows if they plan to have some of these things. If you look at Washington, D.C., that place is all mapped out with all sorts of Masonic symbols and everything else. Were some of these towns laid out in that whole thing? I've heard people describe that, you know, maybe that was something that was part of a design, knowing that this was coming up in the future, trying to fulfill prophecy itself. I have no idea. There's just so many potentials that go along with it. But I have to trust that a higher power is going to have my back no matter what, since it always has from the start. So I have to take whatever is going on in life and just roll with it. So whatever is going to happen, if something horrible is going to happen at this eclipse, then I have no control over it, you know, and I just have to be in the best possible mindset that I possibly can be. But it's not over yet. Some of the stuff is extremely weird. So, you know, on the subject of Egypt, you know, in the middle of that crisscross where the eclipses cross each other, you have New Egypt. Well, the Egyptian king of the gods was Ra, the sun god, also the name of my favorite band, one of the sources of some very profound spiritual material that I've read over the years, the Law of One, which is called the Ra material, R-A. If you haven't listened to your history and stuff like that, you know, the Egyptian sun god was one of the most renowned gods within ancient Egypt. And this eclipse was something that was... This bit of information was one of the things that very much confused the hell out of me. So, I mean, we've had so much synchronicity about, you know, Ra and everything else. I've had so much synchronicity in my life about Ra, and I've focused on first the band jumped in my way, but then I looked more into all the other little pathways that it took me into. So this, I guess, I took it sort of as a synchronicity that the eclipse was so profound and I had Ra, and I always wear like a Ra necklace, an eye of Ra and stuff. So this eclipse was kind of a bigger deal with sort of a general theme that was kind of popping up throughout a huge portion of my life. So much so that I wanted to experience it so deeply again that we're going about 2 or 3 hours north to be in the path of totality and be in the mix of it all. And I'm going to make some super cool videos while we're up there and all that kind of stuff. Well, in the midst of all that, then I go and learn this information of, well, all these obsessions with Ra and how it keeps on popping up. Well, NASA's deciding to play a little dangerous game of fate and sort of mock these concepts with names of the mission that they're shooting off that day. They're basically shooting three rockets up into the sky before, during, and after the eclipse to do an experiment of some sort. Like, these rockets are going to create some sort of sounds that are going to interact with the surface of the planet and the atmosphere and something. So these rockets are going to go up, and then they're actually going to be shooting off something that's going to react with the environment itself. And they're going to supposedly see some sort of changes that they can't see outside of an eclipse. And, you know, I've read the experiments. It doesn't seem that scientifically significant to spend the millions of dollars on this, and especially to shoot off the rockets in the middle of the eclipse. But, you know, what has me the most intrigued about this whole thing, and back to the whole subject of Egypt, is number one, why are they doing this in the first place? Like I said, it doesn't seem like it's worth the money and the effort. Number two, that they're planning a project that is going to shoot off some sort of sounds into the sky during such a significant event. Like, you're going to go and tinker with things during something like an eclipse. It doesn't make sense to me at all. Seems like you're messing around with something that doesn't need to be messed around with, but could be innocent enough. But then number three is the fact that bothers me the most about this whole thing is that they're going to name this project APEP, which is short for atmospheric perturbations around the eclipse path. So APEP. Well, if you don't know who APEP was, he was the nemesis of Ra. He was the arch enemy of the sun god, their king god. It was a serpent deity who pretty much equates to the devil or Satan in ancient Egypt. I mean, it literally is the devil or Satan within the ancient mythology of Egypt. So why the hell would you do something like this? I don't understand it. Like, the eclipse doesn't have enough significance in its own way, and it has so many different spiritual aspects to it. And there's, you know, the doom and gloom of the ancient times. And even if all those things were just myth, and even if some of this stuff is just symbolic, why would you fucking troll people so hard to name the project APEP, which is basically naming it Satan? And it is the arch nemesis of the sun god. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Why would you mess around with this kind of stuff on a day like that with all of the issues that we've had going on in this world? You know, it seems like it's opening Pandora's box. Why go this far? And to some people, it may just seem innocent enough. I've talked with this about people, talked to people about this entire thing, and they're like, what's the big deal? Like, maybe they're just doing it as a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing. And it's like, okay, maybe they are, but just doesn't seem like a great idea to just kind of screw with the fates. But hang on, it gets even better. So CERN, which is the Large Hadron Collider that smashes particles together at nearly the speed of light, which the faster you get to the speed of light with any mass, you basically get closer and closer to creating a singularity. And I think, I mean, I'm not exactly sure when this one, but I believe it's like 7 miles per hour short of the speed of light. So it's literally almost that close. So the amount of gravity that acceleration creates in and of itself, you can research this stuff for yourself. The closer you get to the speed of light, you become so much more infinitesimally massive. So your mass actually increases the faster you go. And it's given us some of the greatest breakthroughs in quantum physics. Like, there's definitely some stuff that we understand more now because of the Hadron Collider. So it's not like it's just some nefarious thing that they're trying to hide, is that it's a scientific experiment. They're like trying to open up portals or whatever. But it was also feared when they first started the thing up by some scientists that they might actually create portals. They might have actually opened up miniature black holes. And some of the atmospheric reactions around this thing, it's a 17-mile loop. If you're not familiar with what CERN and the Large Hadron Collider is, dig into that stuff. It is a rabbit hole that's fascinating to go down from not only the scientific perspective, but also just the pop culture perspective, because there's a lot of weird stuff behind it. But yeah, this thing has like created some atmospheric conditions above it. They've gotten some pretty weird pictures. A lot of stuff was Photoshopped, but if you can dig through the bullshit, you can actually see some really interesting stuff that's happened when they fired this thing up. And it's a 17-mile loop that goes between Switzerland and France. And just, it sends particles flying around this loop till they smash into each other and breaks them apart. And when they do it, it smashes these particles into smaller and smaller pieces. And when they first fired it up, they were literally scared they were going to create some sort of a black hole that could have swallowed the Earth. And then once they did, they were like, phew, okay, I guess we're good. Let's continue the project. And they were, I guess, pleasantly surprised that they didn't swallow up the Earth and turn us into a giant ball of fire or whatever. But why, again, fire this thing up on April 8th? You know, what is the purpose? It just seems like you're just playing with something that doesn't need to be played with. I mean, right now, that Hadron Collider is already creating results and experimental outcomes that are not being predicted. So they're predicting these experiments to happen in a certain way, and it's not happening that way. And obviously, that's how science is done. Like, you do things a certain way, and then it works out in a whole different manner, and you understand a better understanding about whatever it is you're trying to understand. That's great. It's called a breakthrough. But at the same time, if you're predicting it's going to do this and then it does something else, well, I'm predicting it's not going to create a black hole. I'm predicting that it's not going to open up some sort of a portal where something comes through and just makes this already effed up world completely worse. It just seems like it's a really, really bad idea, especially why are you going to turn it on the day of the eclipse? I have no idea. And it just, I don't know. To me, it just shows that we straight up don't know what we're doing. We don't know exactly what can happen sometimes with this machine. So why fire it up on that day of all days? And, you know, this place has a lot of controversy around it as well. You know, on top of the fact that the goddess of destruction is a statue in the middle of their courtyard. The goddess of destruction, Shiva, is in a courtyard standing in this like huge portal looking thing. Right out in front of this place, and it's insane. And they've done these really weird dances in the promo when they first started up CERN. Shiva has like this cosmic dance of destruction or something like that. And all these guys in hard hats and lab coats and stuff just did this really bizarre, long played out dance that just had everybody scratching their heads like, what the hell is this all about? It literally looked like a ritual. It was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. You can go ahead and search that on YouTube of the CERN ritual dance or something like that. You'll also see they had some really strange celebrations there that very much looked really creepy. Like, it didn't look like fun and games, just some of the stuff they've done there with these strange costumes and everything else. Like, it just, something out of whack is going on over there at the CERN place. So that, combined with the fact that they want to go and turn this bad boy on during the middle of the eclipse, I don't understand it. I really don't. And it just adds to the mystique of it all. And I guess it just adds to the fear base of the entire thing. Why do these things on this day? It doesn't make any sense to me. It's like dousing yourself in gasoline and juggling with some matchboxes. Like, yeah, nothing might go wrong, but if it does, it could be really bad. And you're kind of setting yourself up for some conditions that it might not go your way. And it just seems like this is just in line with something like that. You know, just the symbolism behind it all, from what the ancient cultures would perceive these eclipses to be, all the way down to all these weird coincidences that I'm talking about, seem like we're creating, an issue that doesn't need to be there. Naming these damn rockets after a serpent deity that is the nemesis of the sun god, and firing up the old black hole maker, like, on a day where all these people are looking up at the black hole sun while this thing is passing over towns with biblical significance and stuff. It just seems so dumb. You know, they're pushing these things at us from all angles. They're calling states of emergency in certain places, saying that the communications could go down and the power blackouts could go down from all the influx of millions of people going into the path where the shadow is going to be, all the way down to the possibility of like earthquakes happening due to the alignment of the moon and the sun and everything. Although we have an eclipse, solar eclipses and lunar eclipses, and we have I think the solar eclipses happen like once every couple of years on the planet, and we never have issues with the earthquakes and the gravity and stuff. So the people who are spouting this stuff just seem like they want to fire up fear. But in return, it could all be just a distraction. It could be something to get you wrapped up, to take you far off the beaten path of what this event could actually represent for you and provide for you as some sort of a spiritual breakthrough. You know, many see this time as a time where we move on a path of enlightenment and some inner peace. You know, many civilizations saw these times with the eclipses as signs of doom, while many of them saw them as signs of positive shifts. And, you know, these huge events sort of bridge the gap between the celestial existence and the human existence, which is exactly how I can describe how I felt when I saw this whole thing go down in 2017. And that it's what I'm really interested in experiencing again in all of this. But this time I want to do it with some purpose. But I think since 2017, a mass awakening has really occurred with a lot of people. And if you listen to the previous episode that I just did for the season premiere about truth, many people, I've said in that episode, are waking up to everything that's going on in the world. And over the past 7 years, I think there's been a monumental shift in people's consciousness and how much awareness they have. People in general, I'd say, are so much different than we were in 2017. I mean, we went through this massive division just in the last few years in isolation. And I think since then, that woke a lot of people up to how much they try to manipulate and how much they try to divide. And in turn, I think that backfired on the powers that be, because people are becoming more united. And I think that this eclipse happening could wake people up to a whole other level. It could be literally a quantum leap forward and unite people and have basically the opposite effect, which is why I think they're throwing all these crazy things at us on that day to get people fearful and not focused on the potential of the power of a day like this, of what it can create for inward introspection. But I'd say many people have gone through a lot of similar stuff over the last few years, and it's crazy to hear the consensus of how many people are awakened and how many people who I wouldn't even consider spiritually awakened are fascinated with this eclipse. People who didn't really care too much about it back in 2017. You know, they say that the level of conscious awareness on that Hawkins scale of consciousness is something that, you know, you obviously flux between it. Some people operate at very low frequencies. You know, there's a numerical scale basically going from fear all the way up to like universal love. And people operate on very low frequencies when they're wrapped up in fear. And there are some of those people who just literally sit right in front of their TVs. They watch CNN. They watch nothing but the COVID death totals and stuff pop up for that whole time. And they operate down there. But as people rise up in their conscious awareness and they operate at higher levels, they may not be able to sustain those higher levels, but they operate in a higher flux between different numbers that are much, much higher. We'll do a whole episode on that coming up. There's several experts out there on this, and I've been talking about it for quite a while, and it's on my list. I have my little whiteboard of concepts over there, and that's one that's been circulating for a while. So we're going to be diving into that one in season 5 for sure. But the fewer people that are operating on that lower level and the more people that are operating at that higher level is going to make sort of that jump in mass consciousness, and it's going to affect so many people as far as the totality, like that huge human organism I've talked about so many times. You know, basically 100 people acting at a level 100, which would be pretty low on the scale, you know, that gets us to about 10,000. While only 10 people operating at 1,000 is going to get us to 10,000. So 100 people at the lower end is just as powerful as 10 people at the higher end. And that's at least the concepts behind that Hawkins scale of consciousness. So it doesn't take a huge amount of people to get us to those higher operating levels. But when people become so much more aware, they cancel out those others, but then they also sort of spread their sort of operating frequency like a good virus. And instead of people being roped in by fear, they're roped in by these other people and inspired by them. And they see those people living more freely and not caring what's going on in this world, not listening to the fearful stuff, not even paying attention to it, and exercising their free will in any way they want to. And it's inspiring to those people who are at lower levels eventually, and it pulls those people out of it. And that's what I've heard a lot of people say, that this time period, this eclipse is marking that, and it could be actually a crossroads depending on what sort of awareness you're putting on the entire world. It could be a crossroads toward that fear-based, you know, inevitable destruction that so many people think that we're heading for, or it could head toward that other end where everybody's influenced to operate at a higher level, and eventually it just becomes the mass consciousness of the world and all of these manipulations and all this stuff doesn't work anymore. That this event could have so many different meanings for so many different people. And I guess you just have to figure out what that means and get in alignment with it and go and focus on it sort of before the event and during, and not focus on all the other bullshit that could be going on. Because this event is powerful. There's a reason why millions of people are flocking to these areas to witness this. It could unlock certain things within people. It just, whatever it is that you're focused on, that could be what ends up flowing out of this entire situation. All the concepts that we create our own reality is something that we really need to take into account, you know, that our reality is subjective to the individual, and that we maybe all be living in our own personal, individually created universe. It's a very compelling concept. I've heard so many different talks on it. Basically, you have to think about it in the sense that if I were in your dream tonight, you go to bed and all of a sudden there's Heath Cummings. He's in your dream. I feel sorry for you, but there I am and I'm having a conversation with you and we're talking about this kind of stuff. Well, it wouldn't actually be me. I would have no personal recollection of that conversation, but it would be as real to you in that time of your dream as your waking life. And so who's to say that our existence in this waking life isn't like that, that our consciousness creates all these people that are around us and all these circumstances for our own individual growth or whatever it is. And the things we focus on are the things that end up manifesting in our life, because there is actually scientific evidence that does prove to a certain extent that consciousness does affect the physical reality around us. The double slit experiment proves that. So why focus on things like the end times and all these other doom and gloom things, the stuff that, you know, obviously is a route that none of us really want to see happen? Why focus on those things when you could focus on something else, like this being a turning point where the world makes a massive shift forward towards something greater? That's the world I want to live in, not one that's described in a lot of these prophecies. That's not a world that I want to see manifest. Although, even though the timeline sounds like it sucks for a short period of time, because then there's a whole bunch of good stuff supposedly behind it. But it's like, does it really need to be that way? It's crazy. You sometimes have to think, you hear people, I've actually heard people trying to fulfill biblical prophecy and prophecy within other religions. That people in powerful positions are actually trying to fulfill some of these crazy prophecies and bring some of these things about, which explains a lot of the wacky stuff that does happen in this world. But again, why? Why are you trying to tinker with something that ultimately I think you're going to end up regret? But I mean, yeah, the spiritual journey itself can be dark. And just like the eclipse, you know, there's a small, brief, dark period that we do go through. And it can be very powerful. It can be scary. It can be whatever you want it to be when you go through that experience. But it usually is brief. And when it's over, you're very much changed. So, you know, this whole event could be seen as an allegory toward some sort of a transformation like that as well. You know, I think one of the most important things that we can experience is a deeper connection to something bigger than ourselves. I think the normal humdrum life that a lot of us live leaves us in that unfulfilled sort of way of operating. And when something major like this, something divine, something that is inspiring, something that, you know, you have the ability to connect to, like an intelligence that was able to create the circumstance that is going to create an eclipse event. I mean, think about this, that the sun is pretty much exactly 400 times bigger than the moon, yet it's 400 times exactly further away from us than the moon. So the moon fits perfectly over the disk of the sun and blocks it out the way that it does. And if you think about that as just a mere coincidence, like what had to happen to create those exact conditions? What had to be created to create the exact conditions that the moon provides for us as far as the tides and the tilt of our planet for the seasons for us to sustain life here? And all those perfect, absolute perfect circumstances, like that keyhole that we had to actually fit into in this universe, it blows your mind. And that there has to be something of a greater intelligence behind it all that that creates these things. And if it created these things, what's the purpose behind it? But yeah, there's nothing bigger than this eclipse and an event like this being in your face to sort of show you the power of what that actually looks like and feels like. You can do so many things during this time too. It's like you can make a stride for interconnectedness and make that extremely significant as well. It can be a catalyst for so many people to spark new ideas and new trajectories in their life and be inspired and create purpose. If you think about how many people are going to be experiencing this event together in these areas, they say that 30 million people live in the path of totality. Never mind all of the people that are tourists who are going to be coming in, who are flying from all over the world, there are people like me who are driving hours to go be in the path of totality and experience this together. Well, think about what that does for mass consciousness as well, that everybody who is in these areas are just going to be so awestruck and just be in this like ultimate high of an experience like that. Like, that is a very significant time. And, you know, I think that it's very significant that the X went over the United States as well in a time period of 7 years, over a country that was really like one of the biggest standouts for equality and freedom and just sort of this beacon of hope and truth and justice and all that stuff. You know, a place that's lost its way so much from those original things. And here we are, we get this big painted X by something greater than us that's made this pattern right over the United States with all of these coincidences that go along with it. It's definitely a strange circumstance when you think about it all. But I hope those of you out there that are listening, that you get the chance to witness this entire circumstance firsthand, because most of you will at least be able to see it in the United States to some extent. Even if you don't get to see the totality, you get to see it. I suggest that whatever feelings that drums up for you, that you sit with those feelings, that you journal them. You either write them down, you do a video journal afterwards to sort of document that emotional state that you're in, because a lot of those things can ultimately fade. And I know that when I've been through powerful experiences, I've journaled them in some way, shape, or form. And it's sort of reinforced. It's a place for me. It's like a bookmark that I can go back and like read the favorite part of my book of life. And being able to go back and read some of these significant turning points in life, it brings you right back there because the emotion's raw. So if you've never experienced that, if you're like one of those tough guys, you're somebody who doesn't like to journal, whatever it is, whatever your excuse is that you're like, I don't have a diary, I don't journal, I don't do that stuff. If you go to this event and it's significant to you, do that, record that, because it's a way to keep that sort of fire alive after you've experienced something so deep. It can make you feel sort of a deeper connection to people, to life in general. And it's something that we really should do everything that we can to hold on tightly to whenever we get the chance to do it. Because there's not many circumstances in our life that we can actually feel something that profound that shakes us. And this might not even be a big deal to you. It may come and go and it's like, okay, that was fun, dancing the big shadow for 4 minutes and it was over with, you know. But for some of us, it does deeply affect people, and it has for eons, and it will continue to. And I'm sure this event in and of itself, as long as, you know, NASA's rockets don't bring about a serpent devil over us, and that CERN doesn't open up some sort of a black hole that sucks us into oblivion. I think as long as this whole thing goes down and people are approaching it in a great mindset, I think there's something very significant that you can pull out of it. And I think the deeper you can go into that situation over the next few days ahead of it and get yourself in a great mindset and ignore all the other bullshit that might be being said, I think that's the best way to approach it, because you'll be going into that circumstance ready to go for whatever it bubbles up out of you. So I hope you all get to experience it, because I'm pretty excited about it, and I think there's a lot of people who are going to get a lot of great value out of this amazing once in a lifetime type of an event. And some of us are very lucky enough that this is not just once in a lifetime, it's been several so far. We're very, very fortunate in that circumstance. So I think that one's going to be it. This is going to be a short and sweet one, but I want to just jump on here and talk about this one real quick, just because I felt like there's so much of this stuff that people weren't hearing. I think most of it's bullshit. I don't think any of us have anything to worry about. And I think the one thing we need to worry about more is focusing on what significance this actually means to us and how this can literally light a ring of fire, which is exactly what they call the eclipse. But this can light some sort of major fire within you in your life. And I really sincerely hope that it does. The song I'm going to leave you guys with on this one is from the appropriately named Soul Rising, S-O-L. And this one's with Jerry Funk, and it's off the album Touch the Sky. And this one is called Golden Light. Whatever the eclipse brings to your life or the world, let's start focusing on the potentials and paint that reality that we want to see, and not the one that they want us to fear. That acronym for fear, false evidence appearing real, can also be an acronym of face everything and rise. So keep living. conscious thought leader, an expert on inspiration, or have your own amazing story to tell about how you've manifested your best life, we want you on the show. You can connect with us by writing to connect@livethislife.org. That's C-O-N-N-E-C-T at livethislife.org. Or you can reach out to us through the show's Calendly page at calendly.com/livethislife. And be sure to check out everything going on with the podcast at livethislife.org.